What do you think? We just have communion and the benediction and go home? Thank you, man. I think we're in the mood. Good morning and Happy New Year. I want to share with you from the Gospel of John. Please hear these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything came into being through the Word. And without the Word, nothing came into being. What came into being through the Word was life. And the life was the light for all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't extinguish the light. A man named John was sent from God and came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him everyone would believe in the light. He himself wasn't the light, but his mission was to testify concerning the light. The true light that shines on all people was coming into the world. The light was in the world, and the world came into being through that light. But the world didn't recognize the light. The light came to his own people, and his own people didn't welcome him. But those who did welcome him, those who believed in his name, he authorized to become God's children, born not from blood, nor from human desire or passion, but born from God. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This is the one whom I said, he who comes after me is greater than me, because he existed before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known." And this is John's testimony. When the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable worship, holy God, you who are our refuge, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. I was pleased, very pleased, when Reverend Fitzgerald asked me to preach today, Epiphany Sunday. A Sunday of the light, a day to hear the gospel affirm that Jesus is the one who has come to inaugurate a new creation. And I was really, really pleased when the scripture text that she chose was from John, my favorite gospel. But the pleasantness began to dissipate, actually at breakneck speed, when she said there would be a Christmas movie involved. Really? Okay. Epiphany, the last day of the 12 days of Christmas. I thought to myself, what could be so bad? But then the movie title was revealed. It's a Wonderful Life. How many of you have seen that movie? Okay. Maybe the better question is, how many have never seen it? Aha, I'm not alone. Full disclosure, until just a few weeks ago, I had not seen this movie. And the staff knows, because David announced it at a staff meeting, that I had never seen that movie. It was a movie that was released a year before I was born, 1946 was the release date, and so you can do the math. I'm told the movie runs on a 24-hour, 7-day loop from Thanksgiving until now, someplace. So I bought it. I watched it. I discovered that, as in many other movies, there are important theological themes. Among those in this movie, revelation, restoration, and resurrection. So you get Epiphany, Easter, and Christmas, the gifts of Christmas, all rolled into one movie. Compared to the nativity scenes, the stories that we find in Matthew and Luke, the writer of the fourth gospel has a very reflective, distinct ring in his prologue. John's words set off echoes that go all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. It was with God. The Word was God. Now, if we only had these verses from John and no nativity narratives, we wouldn't have any Christmas pageants. Amy. We wouldn't have any Christmas carols that we just sang. The carols we love to sing. What Matthew and Luke show us comes in human terms. But John offers grand theological distinctions and makes the declaration, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Some translations say pitched tent with us. Pitched tent with us. Emmanuel with us. And we have seen his glory, John says, the glory of God's only Son, full of grace and full of truth. But back to the movie. The main character whose life in the story is told is John, is George Bailey. And George has a bucket list. Back in 1946, we probably wouldn't have used that term, but George does have a bucket list. In fact, he has had a bucket list ever since he was a young child. In his bucket list were plans to get out of his small town, Bedford Falls. He wants to travel. He wants to go to college. He wants freedom. Freedom from the expectations of others. Dreams and ambitions. We all have them. A life that sounds just wonderful, doesn't it? Do something big. That's George's plan. Do something important. Get out of this tiny little town that is so confining. But each time that George seems that he has it all together, an opportunity to work on his list, something happens to thwart his plans. The something is, George always does the right thing. He always does the right thing. He chooses to put others before his own desires. What George isn't able to see right away is how he is building a solid life and affecting so many others so that they might have a wonderful life. But let's take some time to go back to the gospel. John's prologue offers everyone a way out of an existence of merely living by revealing the nature of what true life is. This life of which John speaks is so much more than just simple physical existence. It is the reason the Logos, the Word, became incarnate, to bring this life to all of creation. John envisions the role of the Word, the Logos, as continuing the divine creation as told in Genesis chapter 1. At the beginning of creation, God proclaimed, "Let there be light." And now, with the person of the Logos, Christ, John wants us to hear the call, "Let there be a life as well." Light becomes life. When John would have us understand, we know, hopefully, we understand, we are wise enough to get the point that that's the purpose of existence is not simply to live, but to have life, the life given to us in Christ. Scripture tells us that the just shall live by faith. Scripture does not tell us that the just shall just live. We get life. Just living, slogging through life's motions day after day, that's not what Jesus offers. Jesus offers authentic life. Authentic life isn't lived out for a mere survival's sake, but it is a life so vibrant, so illuminating, one filled with the light of Christ, that its sheer presence shines light into everything, everything around it, shining in the gloom of self-centered earthly living. Our scripture text for today says that for those who believe and accept Christ as the bearer of the light, a metamorphosis awaits us, a transformation. We become children of God. Transformation is the purpose of the incarnational presence of God. Back to George. All great fiction has a crisis point. George never leaves Bedford Falls, not even to go on his honeymoon in Bermuda. He hates his job. He feels trapped. He's frustrated. His father has died. He has to run the company. And due to a careless mistake by a relative, $8,000 becomes the property of the unscrupulous Mr. Potter. And the building and loan company goes bankrupt. George snaps. He snaps and he considers suicide. And he gets close enough to jump off the bridge into the river. But Clarence, George's guardian angel, shows up, jumps in first, forcing George again to do the right thing, and rescues Clarence rather than kill himself. It's then that Clarence begins to share with George what life would have been without him. And so here we come to a major point in the film. Mr. Potter has sought an arrest warrant for George. And we find George in Martini's Bar, discouraged, even more despondent. Let's watch this scene.
Glad you come.
How about some of that good spaghetti?
We got everything.
Say love you, Bella. Say love you, Cuore. Oh, Paola. Voglio cantare una canzone d'amore.
Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way. Oh, God.
Are you all right, George? Want somebody to take you home, huh?
Why you dream so much, my friend? Please go home, Mr. Bailey. This is Christmas Eve.
Bailey? Which Bailey?
This Mr. George Bailey.
The next time you talk to my wife like that, you'll get worse. She cried for an hour. It isn't enough she's slave teaching you stupid kids how to read and write. You have to ball her out, eh?
Get out of here, Mr. Welsh.
Ah, wait a minute. I want to pay for my drink.
Never mind the money. You get out of here, quick. You hit my best friend. Get out.
You all right, George?
Who's that?
He gone. No worry. His name is Welsh. He no come into my place no more.
In this clip, George has an epiphany. Even though it lands him on the floor of the bar, bleeding, George has reached the end of his rope, and he prays. He prays the kind of prayer we pray when we really don't know what to say. But he calls out for help. He desperately wants to live again. So he cries out to God in desperation and found God in his brokenness. And that's where the next chapter begins in George's life. He gains a new, fresh perspective, realizing that a life of self-sacrifice, although he once considered it to be wasted, isn't wasted at all. His life is revealed to him. It is redeemed. And it is restored as the movie continues. So we have Epiphany and we have Easter in a Christmas movie, all through the intervention of the one sent from God and the intervention of prayer. As we enter into this new year, this new decade, let us not be dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but with intention. Remember, we glow differently when we aren't hating or hurting, when we're not bitter or miserable or messy. The broken world waits out in the darkness for the Christ light to come into the world through us. The Christ light that is in each and every one of you. God so loved the world light. And so as we move out of this space into the world that God created, let your light shine today and then continue. I want to share with you a partial poem by Maya Angelou. It's called Continue. That is what we are called to do, continue to carry the light. And she says, my wish for you is that you continue. Continue to be who and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Continue to allow humor to lighten the burden of your tender heart. Continue in a society dark with cruelty to let the people hear the grandeur of God in the peals of your laughter. Continue to let your eloquence elevate the people to heights they had only imagined. Continue to remind the people that each is as good as the other and that no one is beneath or above you. Continue to remember your own young years and look with favor upon the lost and the least and the lonely. Continue to put the mantle of your protection around the bodies of the young and the defenseless. Continue to take the hand of the despised and diseased and walk proudly with them in the high street. Some might see you and be encouraged to do likewise. Continue to plant a public kiss on the cheek of the sick and the aged and the infirm, and count that as a natural action to be expected. Continue to let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer, and let faith be the bridge that you build to overcome evil and welcome the good. Continue to ignore no vision which comes to enlarge your range and increase your spirit. Continue to dare to love deeply and risk everything for the good thing. Continue to float happily in the sea of infinite substance, which set aside riches for you before you had a name. Continue, and by doing so, you and your work will be able to continue eternally. Let your light shine. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for sending your Son to warm and brighten the darkness with your light. We pray for those who cannot see the light because of fear or who they are in so much pain, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual. Holy One, may the power of your light search for places in which the light of Christ in and through us might shine to offer hope, joy, love, and peace. Amen.